Hey, thank you, Peter. Yeah, we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we want to thank you and say hello to Cleveland. This is their retreat. This is their day of recollection. And we, because of Peter and St. Mary's, I should say Mary's Hill, we have this for everybody. So today, we're as Peter said, we're going to talk about why Jesus said to Louisa, let me do this. Jesus is very patient with us. He's very, very patient. He knows that, you know, he is speaking the language of heaven. And we have to learn this language. So he's very, very patient with us. And what you'll see today is how our Lord said to Louisa, let me do this. And over a period of years, he explains more and more why the Lord has to do this. So we'll begin in volume 2, 320, 1899, excuse me. Ah, my daughter. What shall happen to the so many members infected by this bad example given by those very ones who are said to be leaders, that is, by superiors, by parents, and many others? So here, Jesus is explaining exactly what's going on today. He says this, what we're experiencing has to happen, he says. They shall reach such a point that neither parents nor brothers nor kings nor princes shall be recognized anymore. So what's coming is the new era. The new era is coming. And God is showing that because of sin, because of the original sin, many are leading people down the wrong path. I mean, you can see this in most universities. You can see this in teachings like, you know, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. Everything seems to be going away from what the Lord has shown. And Jesus says they'll reach the point that neither parents nor brothers nor kings nor princes shall be recognized anymore. The authority isn't going to come from them. The Lord is going to intervene. He says, these members shall be like many vipers that shall poison one another. Therefore, Jesus says, see how necessary chastisements are in these times. For death to almost to destroy this sort of people, so that the few who shall be left may learn at the expense of the others to be humble and obedient. To be humble and obedient. Faithful and true to Christ and his church. He says it's necessary that this happens. And we're going to learn from the bad examples that people are giving us why God has to bring these chastisements. Now, let's just look at the churches closing worldwide. There was no public masses. Jesus said to Louisa that when the churches close, he says, I, as the Lord, am closing them. And he says, I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of being ignored and ridiculed. He says, I'm closing the churches. And as almost a punishment to not being able to receive the sacraments and the sacramentals, to not being able to receive, you know, the body, blood, soul, and the divinity. And he puts us in a situation where most over these last 7 months, most have only been able to make spiritual communions. And what he says to St. Gertrude, he showed up to St. Gertrude with two ciboriums, one silver ciborium and one gold ciborium. And he said, both the spiritual communions, which is symbolized by the silver ciborium, and The actual communion, symbolized by the gold ciborium, are pleasing to me. So in this suffering that we're going through, Jesus is giving us many graces, because you can make a spiritual communion every hour on the hour. You know, you can really draw into this divine life every hour on the hour. And Jesus says, this pleases me. So he says this to Louisa, let me do this. He says, basically, I have to make corrections. I have to bring punishment. He says, do not want to oppose my chastising the people. So our response to what Jesus says to Louisa, basically 121 years ago, is let it be done as you say. The Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what is necessary. So he says this, the next part, volume 3, 223, 1900. When a person becomes intimate with a family, one no longer uses those formalities, those regarding what were used before when he was a stranger. And he says, so do I. So God does the same thing. When he begins to speak to us, when he begins to lead us and guide us and direct us through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, I do the same thing. He says, but nevertheless, this is not a sign that it is not the will of the family to have the person with them. No, or they no longer love him as before. He says, but there's a more intimate understanding. Therefore, remain calm. So Jesus says to us, be peaceful. Jesus says, when you are not peaceful, he says, I, as the Lord, can't be there with you, because he says, I am peace. So the thing that Jesus teaches us the most in the book of heaven is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations, in wonderful times and in sorrowful times, to trust in him, to believe in him, to have confidence in him. So he says, remain calm, let me do. Do not want to rack your brains or trouble the peace of your heart. So a lot of people say, well, I don't understand the divine will. And that's okay. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. What matters is you listen to Jesus. You, each day you read, you study, you put this into practice. At the appropriate time, you shall know my operating. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see why the church is going through what the church is going through today. We're going to see why our country is going through what the country is going through. We're going to see why the world is going through what the world is going through. Jesus isn't done. Jesus, he is in charge. And the more we turn to him with complete trust, Jesus, I trust in you, the happier we're going to be, because we begin to understand that there are certain things that the Lord has to do to make everything right side up. Volume 4, 12, 15, 1902, he added, and you, my beloved, why do you so much fear that I may not let you obey? Don't you know that when I, God, draw, I unite and I identify a soul with me, communicating my divine secrets to that soul, the first key I place that produces the most beautiful sound and communicates the sound to all the other keys is the key of obedience. Now, Jesus, he's the one who was faithful and obedient to the Father when the Father said, Son, I want you crucified. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And what Jesus says, this is what we have to understand. When we're faithful and obedient to Christ and his church, God can do something powerfully within us. He can lead us. He can guide us. He can direct us in a way where those that are unfaithful and disobedient can't. For example, we have to learn how to think with the mind of Christ. This is what God is asking, to learn how to think with the mind of Christ. This is why we have our dogma and our doctrine. This is why Jesus is giving us the book of heaven, so that we can begin to think from a divine perspective. So Jesus is teaching us how to do this. And that's why he says, The beginning of all of this is the key of obedience. And this is why he loved Louisa so much. When Louisa was young, he said, go to your bed and stay there. And she was obedient. She stayed there for the rest of her life. When he said to her, stop eating, she stopped eating, basically for the rest of her life. Stop drinking, she stopped drinking. She stopped sleeping, she stopped sleeping. And what was God doing? I mean, was he punishing her? No. He has to test us to see whether or not we are obedient to him, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. So he's asking us to be faithful and obedient. The two go together. And when we do this, then he says, I can give you this gift of the divine will. I can give back to you the gift that Adam lost. So Jesus says, so much so that if the other keys are not in communication with the first key of obedience, they shall sound in a discordant way, and that can never be pleasing to my hearing. So everything is out of tune. When we are disobedient to Christ and his church, everything is out of tune. The song of heaven, the music of heaven, it doesn't resound in us. And he says it's not pleasing to God. Like somebody scratching a blackboard with their fingernails. It just doesn't it's not music. And so Jesus says, when we are obedient to Christ and his church, he says, everything is pleasing. Therefore, do not fear. Besides, it shall not be you, but I myself shall obey in you. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? When we are one with him, he is doing the work. He is leading us, guiding us, directing us. So when we say, I will be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church, Jesus says, it's not you. It's me in you that's doing this. Do you see the intimacy that's here? It's very, very clear that God, somebody was telling me the other day that they were praying, and this prayer came to me. He said, and I started praying this prayer, and I went, you know, that wasn't even your prayer. That was Jesus praying in your praying. Do you see what happens is we echo back into the image and likeness of God. This is the whole reason for the divine will. I myself shall obey in you, since it shall be up to me to obey. So he says, let me do this. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, your prayer life will be Jesus praying in your praying. It will be Jesus beating in your heart beating. It will be Jesus breathing in your breathing. He says, let me do this without being concerned, for I, God alone, know well what must be done and how to make myself known. So he's leading us to become aware of God within us, God praying in our praying, God breathing in our breathing, God dancing in our dancing. We're saying to the Lord, you reign in me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this humanly. Why don't we want to do this humanly? Because what the priest says at Holy Mass is so clear. When the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice, he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So what Jesus is going to do is he's going to show us how to be perfectly human, as Jesus is as perfectly human, as Mary is perfectly human. We have learned for 2,000 years how to follow the lives of the saints. You know, St. Mary Anthony Claret, you know, a great saint today. But what Jesus is saying, I want more for you. I want you to live one with me, fused with me in my holy divine will, as I originally planned with Adam. That which I gave to Louisa, I want you to possess. Volume 6, 9-13, 1904. What would you say of a martyr who today offers himself to suffer any kind of pain and tomorrow draws back? Would you say that he did not have true disposition for martyrdom, and that one day or another he shall end up denying his faith? See, if we're doing this on our own, what happens at that point is you will fail. The fallen human nature is very weak. And Jesus says, if you don't have the true disposition of martyrdom, that means to be one with Christ, to be one with Our Lady. He says, one day you shall end up even denying the faith. This is why being constant is necessary in the divine will. To go to Jesus every day, to listen to Jesus every day, speak to your mind, your heart, your soul. He is going to make sure that you don't lose the faith. But when we walk away from Christ, and it's just like a sheep, a baby lamb, if it walks away from its mother, from the shepherd, what happens is the wolves are out there that will rip the lamb apart. And Jesus knows this. And he says, the closer you get to him, the Lord God Almighty, the closer you get to his mother, the more you will be safe. You will not be harmed by the evil one. So I say to the soul who does not let me do what I, God, please with her human will, but now gives it to me and now draws back, daughter, you are not disposed to sacrifice. You are not disposed to becoming a martyr yourself for me, because true martyrdom consists in continuity. So this life that Jesus is asking us to enter into is one with him, one with his mother. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says to us, if you're not constant, if you're not one with him continuously, you will fail. And this is why we go to confession. We go to confession each week, because what happens? Our life is what we do, not what God is doing in us. This is what I said. This is what I thought. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's what we do in confession. We confess our weaknesses, our sin. And then we say, I don't want to live like this. I want to re-enter into the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve. So therefore, I will avoid the narrow occasions of sin. When we think like this, when we pray like this, this is what Jesus says. This is your continuity with whom? Jesus and Mary. So the Lord is leading us closer to him. He's got great plans, and he needs us. All he needs us to do is to cooperate. So he says, you may call yourself resigned. You may call yourself conformed, but not a martyr. And one day or another, you may end up withdrawing from me, reducing everything to a child's game. So what Jesus says here to Louisa is, I want martyrdom. I want you to become a martyr. And if we really listen, John Paul II, I think it was 1993 in Colorado, he said to all the groups there, he said to all the children, all the youth, he says, are you willing to be a martyr? Are you willing to die for Christ? And everybody cheered, you know, and he said, we'll see, basically. What did he mean by that? Well, again, you have to live a martyr's life continuously, whether it's a bloody life where you die, you let blood come out of your body, or it's a white martyrdom where you're constantly saying fiat to God. You know, for prayer, like for example, prayer is continuous. Prayer is like your heartbeat. Prayer is like your breath. Your prayer is continuously coming from us, because that's Jesus in us praying constantly. The Holy Spirit revealing how to pray and why to pray. If we are not continuously being a martyr, and that means giving up things. We are a very addictive people. We're addicted to many, many things, food, television, exercise. And Jesus says, this love that you have for the human is not healthy. We have to develop a love for the divine. And that's why Jesus is saying, he says, you can be resigned, you can be conformed, but you must become a martyr. And that doesn't mean you walk around going, oh, woe is me, look what I'm going through, how terrible. No, martyrdom is confidence in God. Whatever you ask of me, Jesus, I give my fiat. Whatever you want of me, I give my fiat. Mary, the Blessed Mother, was the martyr of martyrs. Well, why? When she was a young girl, she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Total surrender to God, total docility to God, total submission to God. And that's in our life, this is how we have to begin to live. You, Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, you're my all. Whatever you wish, I want. Whatever you want, I wish for. And so what does he say to Louisa? He says, I want you to become a martyr. Otherwise, one day or another, you will end up withdrawing from God. And you will reduce everything to a gain. We don't want to do that. So we want to draw closer to Jesus. We want to draw closer to our Lady through what God gave to little Louisa. And as we begin to read and study and put into practice these truths, great things happen. Jesus says, volume 7, 425, 1906, and I, if you want satisfaction from me, God, if you want satisfaction from me, Louisa, make me suffer whatever you want, for I am ready for everything. That's bold. And Jesus goes, are you sure you're ready? And she goes, whatever you want. So I felt him, listen to this, I felt him within me as if I were keeping him bound. And oftentimes he would repeat, let me do, for I can take no more. I can take no more of how the world is rejecting God. Let me do, for I can take no more. The world is going away from me. And I would repeat, I do not want it. I do not want it. Now, what's happening? Jesus says, I have to bring chastisements to the earth. And Louisa says, I don't want you to do this, Lord. Now, you begin to understand the great love Louisa has for Jesus and Mary, but also the great love Louisa has for us. But as I was saying this, I felt my heart split with tenderness in admiring his goodness. And so condescending into a sinful soul such as I could comprehend many things about divine goodness, but I cannot say them well. So here Louisa is saying, I see how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is. And he's coming to me, she says, a sinner. And he's saying to me, give me permission to chastise the people. And she says, I can't do this. I can't do this. We are going to see the great love that Louisa has for us, each and every one of us. Volume 7, 313, 1907. In these last days when Jesus made himself seen, Jesus would caress me and kiss me. And since my mama was sick, he made me understand that he would take her. She was not going to be here on earth much longer. Now, the caressing and the kissing, you have to understand this. This is not romantic. This is a father holding his little baby girl and caressing and kissing her. It's not romantic. And see why? He was taking the place of his mother, of her mother. He made me understand that Jesus would take her to heaven. So I would say to him, my Lord, if you want her, I give her to you as gift before you take her. You see, Jesus, this is Jesus's prayer. Give her to me and I'll take care of it before it happens. I do not want to wait until you take her without giving her to you before. So we want to be so close to Jesus that everything that we love, we give to him. Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, everything that we love, we give to Jesus before it's gone. We say, I will give you permission to do this. See, do you see? Luisa understands the humility of God. He understands that when you surrender something to him, he will take care of it. I see so many people are upset about their families. You know, they're so far away from the church. They're living horrendous lives. They're living lives that are so corrupt. And you say to Jesus, I surrender them to you, Lord. You take care of them. I know you will do a good job. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm concerned, but I'm not going to worry about it. I want you to be their Lord, their master, their king, their savior, their God. And I will do whatever you ask of me. If you want more prayer, I will pray. If you want me to be peaceful, I will be peaceful. And what happens is you begin to trust in the Lord. See, scripture says, Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. God is going to take care of it. He's a loving God. So she says this, but I want from you the recompense for the gift that I give you. Give me as a reward. You're taking her mother straight to paradise without letting her touch purgatory at the cost of making me, Luisa, suffer the purgatory that my mother should have. This is, again, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. And Luisa says, I will take on her punishment. This is what you're going to discover about Luisa. Why did she go to bed for the rest of her life? Why did she not eat for the rest of her life? Why did she not sleep for the rest? She was taking our punishment. Jesus said, can I find at least one soul that will do this for me for your brothers and sisters? And Luisa said, I will do it. Give it to me. That's a generous soul. And blessed Jesus would say to me, my daughter, let me do this. See, God is so great that when you say, I will pray these prayers for these people that I love, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, God says, good, I will do this in you. See, it's who is the one that prays but Jesus? His humanity was holy. The holy humanity of Jesus. He knows how as a human to pray. Mary, the holy humanity of Mary, she knows how to pray. And when we say, Jesus, pray in my praying, Mary, pray in my praying, Jesus says, let me do this. I will take care of it. See, it's a total surrender. When you look at St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort says they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. What we learn to do in the divine will is to get out of the way and say, you, Jesus, you do the praying. You do the work. You do everything in peace, joy, and happiness as you would do if you were on earth. So basically we're saying to Jesus, reign in me, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, pray in my praying, whatever I think, say, and do, Lord, you do it. I want you to reign in me. And Jesus shows Luisa that is entering into the image and likeness of God because God is doing it in us. That's what we're going to learn. Volume 10, 10, 17, 19, 11. My daughter, see my daughter, how they offend me. This is where we are today. You remove one from me and they have woven another. They never leave me free. They weave me a crown of thorns continuously. And this crown of thorns, when we look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that crown of thorns surrounds his heart. It's not just around his head, but it's around his heart. We are, and again, there's no skin around the heart. It's raw. And these thorns are right into his heart as it beats. And I, Luisa, removed it again from him. And Jesus, please, please drew near my mouth and poured a little bit of his most sweet liqueur. So here is the bitterness that Jesus has gone through, that we give to him because of our sins. This bitterness is when Jesus finds a soul that says to him, let me help you, Lord. That bitterness turns into a sweet liquor. See, we are entering this oneness with Christ. We're entering this life of Jesus, where we begin to participate in what he is going through. Many times, Jesus pours this bitterness into Louisa. He says, can somebody help me? And Louisa would say, I'll help you. Pour this bitterness into me. And again, she's talking about supernatural events, spiritual events. And the way she describes it, it's like pouring vile, horrible things into your mouth. The taste is so terrible. So it's that we have to see this as Louisa in this intimacy with Christ. And this is the best way she can explain it. Jesus shared with her what he was experiencing. And then when she says to Jesus, let me help you. Jesus says, let me help you. I want to share with you how this bitterness turned into sweetness because of what you have done. And Jesus, what are you doing? Because Louisa was always experiencing bitterness from Jesus. You are full of bitterness and you pour sweetness into me. This is not appropriate. And Jesus says, let me do this. You too needed to be cheered even more. I, God, want you to take some rest inside my sacred heart. So here, what we're seeing, this intimacy that God wants with us. Once we begin to understand the martyrdom that he's calling us to, and that is to say, I want to help you, Lord, with all the bitterness, all the misery that's all in the world. I want to be one with you. I want to be fused with you. Jesus says, good. He says, let me do this now. Let me give you a sweetness. Let me give you a gentleness of you recognize what I'm going through and you're helping me get through this. See, our Lord, he loves us so much that he wants us to share in his divinity. And in his divinity, there is suffering. Let's just look at the Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross. There is suffering. And our God is saying, would you be willing to participate in this? Volume 10, 19, 1911. This morning, my always lovable Jesus wanted to escape me, so I clasped Jesus tightly in my arms. And since Jesus wanted to wiggle free, I said to him, you teach me. The day before yesterday, you bound me tightly in such a way that I was unable to make one movement, and I let you do it. So at the right occasion, I could repay you with the same thing. Now, you be quiet. Let me do it. I want to speak to you in your ear, more so since I don't feel like shouting. It seems to be that in these last days, you wanted to make me shout by playing deaf, by pretending not to understand me. And I was forced to repeat and to shout in order to make myself understood. I don't know. Every once in a while, you come up with something new. So here, it's Jesus bounds Louisa. It's like a baby. It's like a baby in a papoose. She bound Louisa tightly. A baby in a papoose can't move, really. And he says, now it's my turn, she says. And you're seeing the play, how Jesus plays with her and Louisa plays with Jesus. Now he says, now you're the baby. I want to bind you. I want to put you in a little papoose. And she says, and then when I speak to you, you act as if you don't understand me. And she says, I don't know. Every once in a while you come up with something new. So here you begin. This is the intimacy that God has with Louisa and the little children, of the Holy Divine Will. He plays with us. And I remember Father Bucci was telling us that a couple times, Louisa was writing in her bed. And if you knew near her bed, there was a glass container with a baby Jesus in it, you know, off to her left. and she would be writing, and Jesus would stick his hand through the glass to touch her, you know, while she's writing. And she'd say, stop it, you know. And then what would happen? He'd put his hand back in, and she'd be writing, and he'd stick his hand up to touch her again. And she'd go, stop it. She'd say to Jesus, you're being so bad. I'm trying to write because you want me to write, and you're distracting me. Because we see the love that Jesus had for Louisa and the love that Louisa had for Jesus, how they were playing like little kids all the time. Even when she was in Torre Desperado, her sisters would see this little blonde boy running. So Louisa had blonde hair too. They would be running through the field, and they would see this little boy with Louisa all the time. And the sisters would say to Louisa, is that your boyfriend? And what we're going to understand is how important Louisa was to Jesus. How important Jesus was to Louisa. This is something that's will really astonish the church when they get into this. It's not just occasionally like with the saints. Some of the saints saw the baby Jesus, like Saint Anthony. They held the baby Jesus, like, you know, Padre Pio. This was constant with Louisa. There was something different, because every day, like she says, every once in a while you come up with something new, you know. So we're going to begin to understand this great love that Jesus had for little Louisa. Volume 11, 7, 23, 19, 12. You must know. Now, this is a command from Jesus Christ. And we have a book, the You Must Know book. If you go through the You Must Know book, you're going to learn what Jesus says you have to understand in order to enter into the divine will. You must know this, he says. So he says that when you do not feel anything from your heart, I draw your heart into my heart, and I, God, keep it at rest in a sweet sleep while I enjoy it. So he says that there will be times when we will go through some difficulties, and he says you won't feel anything in your heart. It's just, you're just going through. It might be suffering. It might be whatever. He says, when that happens, I am drawing you into my heart, and I, God, keep it at rest in a sweet sleep while I enjoy it. So even when you're going through dark moments of the soul, we have to know that Jesus, what Jesus said here, when this happens, I draw you into my heart, and I am at rest in your heart. So he says, you have to know this. You have to understand this. Then he says this: if you do feel it, enjoy it, then the enjoyment is together. If you let me do, after I have given you rest in my heart and enjoyed from you, I, God, shall come to rest in your soul, and I, God, shall make you enjoy the contentments of my sacred heart. Now you think about this. You see the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You see, you know, blood and water coming out of his heart. When you look at Divine Mercy, you see two rays of light coming out of her heart. Jesus says to Louisa, when the divine will reigns, you're going to see and experience the 360 degrees of rays coming out of the heart of Jesus. We haven't seen anything yet. We have no idea of this love of God that is consuming him for us. We have no idea how magnificent this is. But Jesus promises us, when we look at Divine Mercy, there's two rays of light. We're going to see 360 degrees of light and love and life coming out from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Ah, my daughter, let me do. See, God's going to do this. He says, give me permission. Lord, do what you have to do. Whether I have to keep you awake or asleep, did you not tell me to do whatever you wanted, whatever I wanted? And that's in the divine will. Jesus, do with me whatever you want, when you want, as often as you want. I am totally surrendered to you. This is the martyrdom. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. Do with me as you wish. I do not want to stand in your way. I do not want to say no in any aspect. She says, did you not tell me to do with you whatever I, God, wanted? Do you perhaps want to withdraw your word? And we say, no. You know, volume 11, 3, 2, 19, 16. The soul must be content with everything. Fiat in everything. Fiat, Lord, in everything. If I, God, were not free to do what I, God, want, I would be unhappy in your heart, in that heart. If I had to be careful to make her feel how much I enjoy, but to unwillingly hide from her how much I suffer, where would my divine freedom be? Jesus says, everything is in my divine will. See, this is, John Paul II said this. He's, when they asked about the divine will, he says, the divine will is everything. Everything is in God's most holy divine will. If the soul takes it, the soul takes the whole substance of my divine being and encloses the whole of me, God, within herself. And as she goes on doing good by having the substance of my life within her, the soul makes that good come out of my very divine self. And since it comes out of me, God, it runs like rays of light for the good of all creatures, of all mankind. This is what Jesus did with Louisa, and now he's doing it with us. He's asking us to let this love, this light, this love, light, and life of God be given to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers. He says, I want this for all the world. He says, will somebody help me do this? And Louisa says, I'll do that. And we, linked with Louisa, say the same thing. Lord, you want this done? I will do this. I will do this with Louisa. This is what God is waiting for. Volume 12, 8, 14, 1917. In your very heartbeat, you shall feel mine. Feel your heartbeat and say, Jesus beat in my heart beating. That is Jesus beating in your heart beating. He takes us at our word. It is burning. It is sorrowful. Burning with love. And sorrowful because it's rejected. And if you do not see me, if you feel me, my arms hold you tighter. And how many times you do not feel my motion, my refreshing breath that refreshes your ardors. You do feel all this. And when you try to see who squeezed you, who breathes on you, you do not see me. I smile at you. I kiss you. With the kisses of my divine will, and I hide more within you in order to surprise you again, to give you one more jump into my divine will. Here, Jesus is playing with Louisa again. He holds her like a little baby. He plays with her like a little baby. And this is what he's saying. He says, I'm with you continuously. I want you to begin to experience me. And that's what the divine will is. The divine will is experiencing God in a way that the saints didn't. The saints did the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to experience Jesus as Mary did. It's to experience Mary as Jesus did. That's what's coming. That's what's happening. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.